Last December, I had cataract surgery. Cataracts add a brownish yellow cast to everything. Without that, the sky was ever so much more beautiful, and many of the rooms in our house suddenly looked newly painted. But we humans fairly quickly adjust to the everyday, and a month or two after getting the second eye done, being cataract-free became an everyday condition. For a few days during spring migration, I noticed how brilliant migrant birds appeared, but even that quickly became the everyday norm. After living on Peabody Street for 38 previous springs, I thought there was little left that would seem spectacular. But my making sound recordings of my backyard birds almost every morning starting April 29th, and really listening to those recordings through my headphones each day, suddenly made the commonplace more brilliant and gorgeous. I could pick out my two familiar robins nesting on the east and west sides of my house and discovered that one regularly sang a pretty phrase I'd never associated with robins before. When the chickadees started singing well before sunrise, it was easy to hear two different males going back and forth, and sometimes I could pick out a more distant third. As May progressed, catbirds, thrashers, orioles, wrens, and rose-breasted grosbeaks joined the chorus. Usually, I'd look for ruby-throated hummingbirds, but during May and early June, they often flew directly over my recorder, allowing me to pick out both their wing hums and their twittering notes. It was thrilling to pick out each brand-new voice, but those voices were not just welcome as New Year birds. This year, they sounded as wonderful as I remember when I was hearing each one for the very first time so many years ago. Paying such close attention to these ordinary bird songs through my headphones gave me the same kind of joy as back in December my cataract-free vision had. As June has dissolved into July, I'm still recording lots of bird song, but where in May and most of June my recordings were so packed with different individual singers that barely a second went by without at least one bird going at it, now there can be minutes-long lulls between song. Yes, little by little, the annual cycle of bird song is coming to an end. By the end of the month, I'll be filling in the gap by using my camera instead of my sound recorder. Disappointment could be the order of the day, but so soon after my cataract surgery experience, I'm suddenly seeing the annual cycle of bird song in a new light. Perhaps each bird must go through a long quiet time each year to reset its own everyday experience so that every spring it'll be experiencing gorgeous song with fresh ears all over again. Framing it that way, I can read Robert Frost's exquisite poem, The Oven Bird, with new ears. The question that he frames in all but words is what to make of a diminished thing. Yes, even in midsummer, the season of greatest abundance, as more and more fruits ripen and more baby birds flit about, some elements of the season can indeed seem diminished. But that is exactly as it should be. The birds don't all quit singing at once. They taper off gently so we can adjust, but we're already sensing with certainty that they will eventually quit. That autumnal hush may indeed seem a diminished thing, but unlike our aging bodies and minds and treasured institutions we once had faith in that have grown tarnished, the diminishment of bird song as the season draws to a close won't be permanent. Bird song ebbs in summer so that come spring we'll once again hear it with fresh and hungry ears, drinking it in and enjoying it more fully, the way an everyday sky for a time seemed so amazingly fresh and brilliant to me, all because of a time of diminishment. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.